listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, is written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You that You considered that we were worth it. That's a staggering thought. With the universal lostness of man, the depravity, the depths that man would go to run from You and to blaspheme You in Your name, and yet You considered us worthy to die for us. But Father, not just to die for us, You wanted to live for us. Today's Resurrection Day, we recognize it wasn't just about dying. It was dying to pay a price. It was dying so that a full redemption price could be paid for every one of us, so that the enemy would not be able to say that any one of us needed anything more than the blood of Jesus. You died for us that we might live, but You also really came to show us that death couldn't hold You. And death also could not hold those who are redeemed. Hallelujah. And that the cemetery once and for all would be conquered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and by the resurrection. And we live in resurrection life this morning. Father, for those who have joined us today, those who are joining by live stream, those who perhaps will join us in the hours or days that come, may You open our hearts in a fresh way. For this day has never come to the planet before. Oh, you may say, Pastor, you preachers, you always say that. But it's true, this date has never come to the planet, and we are so much closer now than ever before to the redemption and removal of the church from this planet. And Father, some may question that, but it seems even the world is working on coming up with plans so they can make an excuse. Be it aliens or ships or whatever, the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to be raised up, and we who remain are going to be caught up into the air with them, and we will be forever with the Lord. And we are to encourage one another with these words, and we do encourage one another with these words, for this world is not our home. And to the north, the south, the east, and the west, we pray that the principalities and powers and rulers would be bound this morning, that we would not give any license to the destroyer today, But that life would be released and conviction and anointing would be released over our land. And that today would be a great day of salvation and coming home. Great day of coming home. This was a season for the disciples to come back home. They had all hid. They were afraid. They ran in different ways. They rebelled in different ways in their fear. But Father, you had a plan to save them all, and you did. You did, every one of them, except Judas. Lord, you have a plan for us too this morning. Someone's listening today that's maybe been slipping a little off the trail, or maybe you just ran away. I want you to know that God is on your trail. And God has a plan that's going to be successful. God's going to redeem you. God's going to restore you. And so why not just come home today? Why not just come home to God today? Why not come home now? Sons, daughters, moms, dads, grandchildren. Oh, you may not be able to hear me today, but Father God, you're hearing us today, and you're able to touch their hearts wherever they are, and you're able to draw them in and bring them back. And Father, we claim our families, and we on this resurrection morning just want to say again, because it's true, as for me, say it with me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to ask you to run with me to Exodus for a few moments this morning. We're not going to stay in Exodus. Exodus obviously is about exiting, right? Though we could talk about the Exodus, we could talk about the deliverance. I actually want to ask you to think about what happened after the first Passover. Oh, you know about the plagues, and you know about finally the death of the firstborn. And you know that Israel was to put that lamb aside, and they were to... So we're familiar with Passover, the Passover story. We're familiar with the fact that Israel had been in Egypt for over 400 years now. I believe it's 430 years. And then during the night, you know, the blood's on the doorpost of the Jews, but during the night, the death angel comes through the land and there's wailing all throughout Egypt because every house has a death. I cannot even imagine that kind of trauma in a nation. We've had some traumas, but there hasn't been, I don't believe, a trauma quite like that. So there's a wail. The land is actually crying. The nation is crying. And the message is sent, so they're going to quickly leave. And we understand that. And there's one part of this I want you to think about. And if you remember, they were to actually, the Jewish people, they were to have this Passover meal dressed and ready to go. Do you remember that? That's in chapter 12, where they were to have what, their sandals on? Wear your traveling clothes. Verse 11, chapter 12. Wear your traveling clothes as you eat this meal, as though prepared for a long journey. Well, they had a long journey coming. But the point I want you to get is, this season right now, where we are right now, the message to them was, I'm going to deliver you, and I want you to be ready to move. I started the year by saying that God had put in my heart that there is no message more important than remembering that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? You see, they were getting ready to leave. They were going to leave their homes. I mean, think about if you Some of you lived in a place for maybe weeks, months. My wife and I for close to 40 years. I know, Bruce, you know what it is to try to move out of a place. You've been living there for a while. Think about 400 years. And God said, I want you to get ready to leave. You're going to leave. I believe God would want us on this resurrection morning, before we read the wonderful account, to just think for a moment that God wants us to get ready to leave from down here. That means we need to bring a little heaven into here to get ready to go there. Because no one goes to heaven without having a little piece of heaven move inside. So the admonition was to get dressed to travel. Resurrection morning, I'm going to challenge all of you, get dressed to travel. Oh, we may live another 10, 20, 50, 60, 80 years, 100 years, some of you. Maybe Jesus won't come back for the rapture as early as I expect Him to. But listen, don't get too upset at me for expecting Him to come back today, because even John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So he was expecting that he needed to be ready every day, because he was looking forward to the catching away in his lifetime. We too should do so. And so they were to be ready to go, walking sticks in your hands. Eat the food quickly, for this is the Lord's Passover. And on that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and will kill all the firstborn male animals in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. Verse 13, the blood you have smeared on your doorpost will serve as a sign. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and this plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now all that you know, what happened next? Say, well, what happened next is the death angel came through and they're all wailing. You already talked about that. And then everybody is dressed and they're ready to go. And so everybody, woohoo, you know, we're leaving. We're free. We can head out. And yeah. So what happens next? Now when we think about the resurrection, we think about Jonah, right? Remember Jonah? He was in the belly of the whale how long? How many think one? One day? No. 2 days? 3 days? 3 days. 3 day belly. That's where he was. So he's 3 days in the belly. Well, that is a sign of Jesus, right? 3 days. Have you thought about the fact that they said we need to go 3 days? We need to leave Egypt at least 3 days. We need to get 3 days away. And we need to offer sacrifices to our God. And then we find this where it tells us in chapter 14, verse 5, when word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites were not planning to return to Egypt after 3 days. Interesting that 3 days is here in the Passover. Because 3 days also is in the resurrection story. And so what happens in those 3 days in the resurrection story? From the time Jesus dies on the cross until the time that He rose from the dead, the Scriptures tells us that there is a tremendous, powerful event that takes place, where Christ literally presents Himself to all of the saints from all ages. And then those saints are no longer in the saint parking lot. Well, this is where the Roman Catholic Church comes up with the idea of purgatory, that you get stuck down there. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus liberated all of the saints. Not the candles and not the donations and not the big monuments and none of that, but the blood of Jesus liberated all of the saints. They never saw their Messiah until that time, and He's presented as the Messiah. But then, when that is completed, the grave could not hold Him. And so while He's in the grave, the watch is outside, they're keeping their eyes, the guard is set, the seal is on the stone, everything seems to be in good order, until the third day. So the third day, the king of Egypt realizes that Israel's not coming back. So, what is his plan? You know what his plan is. You've read the story. And so he took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots. This is chapter 14. The best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots. So he brought out all of the newest military gear, along with all of the other. Now, they've already been plundered. God already touched their heart, and they were to ask their neighbors for clothing and jewelry. They literally plundered the whole land of Egypt and took its wealth, and God's not finished yet. That was just what was in their pockets. God's going to do something else after the third day. There's something else that's going to happen to Israel as well as has happened for us. Because we no longer are looking forward to a sacrificial lamb that's going to be slain and going to be buried and wait for some resurrection, because it's already happened. So we look back. But there's a whole lot more to the story. And I believe looking at Passover will help us get a picture of the bigger story. So the king has been deflated by 10 plagues, by the loss of family members. The whole land is in an uproar. But he is now like, okay, he's recovered already. We've had our funerals. We're going after them. Each with a commander. And the Lord continued to strengthen Pharaoh's heart, his resolve. He chased after the people of Israel who had escaped so defiantly. All the forces in Pharaoh's army, all of his horses, his chariots, his charioteers were used in the chase. And the Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore. Don't think that after the resurrection, Satan goes on vacation. Don't think after Passover that the devils and demons and the Egyptians are going to leave Israel alone. Oh no! The enemy regroups quickly and now has a plan to physically demonstrate its strength to force the people of God into bondage again. I'll bring them back. I'll force every one of them. Who do they think they are? They were our slaves. They were our work team, our workforce. We'll go get them. We'll take the whole army. There's not a thing they or their God can do. This is what happens after the third day. So after the third day, all Egypt, they're coming. Pharaoh and his army. Israel can see them in the distance, verse 10, marching toward them. The people began to panic, and they cried out for the Lord's help. And they turned against Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? And on they go. But then look at verse 13. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Let me tell you what happens after the resurrection. After the resurrection, the enemy regroups and intends to bring fear to the nation, just as the enemy is intending to bring fear to the people of God today in this generation. But I want you to recognize something. The plan of God to deliver through Passover was a plan that not only dealt with the strong man in a spiritual sense, it also dealt with the strong man in a physical sense. It not only dealt with the demons and the devils that motivated Pharaoh, it dealt with Pharaoh and all of his army. And I want you to see something through Passover this morning, that the victory that God gives Israel over all of Egypt's army is the same victory God is giving to His church this morning. Because God's dominion is not only in the spiritual realm, it is also in the physical realm. And when in the physical realm, the demons and the devils are screaming, God will arise and God will move against the powers of darkness. I believe I've never seen this like this until this year. And as I was preparing for this morning over the last few weeks, the Holy Spirit has been saying, look at Passover, look at Passover, look at Passover. And so I'm looking at Passover and I'm looking at Passover. And the Lord said, but what happened next? I want you to see that you're living in the next. You're living in that next phase where my authority has been transferred. It's been transferred to my people, and my people walk in that anointing, in that authority, just as Israel. Listen to what he said again. I got to read this and I got to move quickly. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Point one, don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. And then he says this, the Egyptians that you see today will never be seen again. Resurrection is about the Lord saying, I have given the victory to you. Do not be afraid. There are a lot of demons and devils and strongholds and operations in the natural that I believe God is publicly going to destroy. And we, if we can just stand in faith and not fear, we are going to see the Lord bring some mighty strongholds down before us. We do not have to do it. You see, I believe there's another message here. The message was, Israel, it's not time to get your bows and arrows out. I want you to first learn that if you will keep your eyes on God, and if you will trust and believe me, that I am the one who's going to fight your battles. I'm the one that's going to destroy your enemies. I am the one that's going to give you the victory. The day's going to come when you're going to have to put some march to the victory. But I want you to first learn that it's never what you can do. It's always about me and what I have already done. And it's still the same. It's still the same. Worthy is the Lamb. Last Sunday, we're talking about worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The church, my church, will finish strong. My church will finish strong. I'm strengthening my church. I'm reaching out and touching those that I'm calling. I'm strengthening my grip on those that I've chosen. My church will finish strong. You will not finish where people are wondering, well, is there even a God? No, that's not the way it finishes. It's not going to finish where unrighteous people go, well, I wonder if God really has any people. It's not going to finish like that. It's going to finish like, much like Egypt and Passover, to where all the Egyptians will know that there's a God. And all of the righteous will know that God has delivered them. That's the way it finishes. To where, whether you're a kid, whether you're 80, whatever age you are, Their shoes didn't wear out. You say, well, how am I going to live in these days? You're going to walk by faith. Just like all the patriarchs have done. You're going to walk by faith. God is going to take care of you. God is going to strengthen you. God is going to provide for you. God is going to show off in your life through your family right in front of the devil. And there's not a thing he can do about it. And when your back is up against the wall and it looks like all hell is crowding in on you, rather than looking at the enemy, look up and say, hallelujah, I don't know how you're going to do it this time, God, but you've always done it before. And I'm just going to read about the Passover again, and I'm going to declare with my mouth that you are Lord, and all I have to do is just stand here and watch you destroy the powers of darkness against me. It's resurrection season. Hallelujah. It's resurrection season. Church is going to finish strong. And I am convinced that the church is going to be able to say again, come and see what my God is doing. Remember Andrew going and getting his brother saying, I found the Messiah. Come and see. But the come and see I want you to look at this morning for a couple minutes before we leave is in Matthew chapter 28. So we'll just start with Matthew, and we're going to quickly look at the resurrection story. Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning. This is why there's sunrise services. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. They fell into a dead faint. They drop like dead men, is what the word says. Then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said. What happened? Come and see. Here's the come and see. Come and see. Come on, come in the tomb. Don't need to hold your nose. Ooh, it's going to be really bad in here. Come on, Mary, is this going to be bad? No, it's not going to be bad. There's no one dead in here. Come and see where his body was lying.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when